God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, our gospel lesson, John chapter 1. In the name of him who is true God and yet became true man, dear fellow redeemed, I expect by now you've opened all your gifts, or at least most of them. Do you have a favorite? Your parents get you a new video game that they had to tear you away from to bring you to church today? Your husband pampered you with a piece of jewelry, a nice sweater, a certificate to a foot massage. Maybe if you're like me, there's now a Fleet Farm gift certificate burning a hole in your pocket. Chances are you all have a best, your favorite gift. What are the chances that we all got the same favorite gift? I doubt it. Unless, of course, we're thinking about a gift that wasn't wrapped in pretty paper, but was wrapped in strips of cloth. A gift that wasn't laid under a tree, but laid in a feed trough. A gift that didn't come from Santa, it came from God. I mean, isn't that the real reason we're all here today? We aren't here primarily to thank God for the perfume or the crescent wrench. We're here to thank God for the greatest gift of all. And so let's do that today. On this Christmas day, let's celebrate God's greatest gift. As we look to John's gospel, we see three things about this gift. This is a gift that's first delivered in a tent. It's a gift unrecognized by the world, and it's a gift full of grace and truth. First, this gift is a gift delivered in a tent. Maybe thinking, tent? I don't remember that part. Born in a barn, yeah. Laid in a manger, yeah. No tent. And you're right. In Luke's account that we're so familiar with, he doesn't talk about a tent. But John does. Did you catch it? The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Still don't see anything about a tent there. It's because we kind of have to go behind the word here. The word that's translated, made his dwelling among us, in the original language is skeno'o. It comes from the word, the root skene, which means a tent. To skeno'o means to pitch a tent, to tabernacle, to take up a dwelling. So what's John saying here? The Word became flesh. The Word, the God, really specifically, the second person of the triune God, became flesh, in other words, took on a human nature, wrapped himself in flesh and blood, and then pitched his tent here on earth for a while. The NIV translates it, he made his dwelling among us. Don't miss that. You realize how amazing that is? That God Almighty, the ruler of the universe, who lives in unapproachable light, who we heard in our Old Testament, man can't look at and live, that God, all glorious, wraps himself in a tent, in a baby's body, and comes down the birth canal and takes on the form of all things, a little helpless baby. God Almighty, a little baby. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph looking at this child going, this baby is God. The angel said, this is Emmanuel, God with us. This is God in the flesh. This is God making his dwelling among us, pitching his tent for a while. In fact, you realize there is a parallel between Jesus as a little baby and the Old Testament tabernacle? You remember that? Remember what God told when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness? He told them to do what? To build a palace. No, to build a mansion. No, to build a tent. Why? Well, God instructs Moses. Tells the people, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Do you remember after they built this ornate tent, this tabernacle called the tent of meeting, then what happened? The Bible tells us. Then the cloud, remember the cloud, that fiery pillar of a cloud that was lit day and night, that cloud of God's glory covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You talk about an awesome visual effect. All the glory of God suddenly encompassed in a tent. A visual proof that God Almighty, the God of the Israelites, is now dwelling among them. He's now pitched his tent in their midst. You think it's a coincidence that John uses that same terminology in describing Jesus? What the tabernacle foreshadowed, Jesus Christ fulfilled. The glory of God wrapped in a little baby and living among us. That's what John means when he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. But now maybe you're thinking, yeah, but what's that mean for me today? That Jesus took on flesh and dwelt for a while among us. I mean, it's not like he's around anymore. It's not like I can see him. It's not like I can hold that little baby in my hands. You're right. To an extent, at his ascension, Jesus visibly ascended into heaven and took that physical body with him. But that doesn't mean you can't still handle the body of Christ. In a little bit, you're going to kneel at this rail. What are you going to receive? Bread and wine, yes. But according to Jesus' promise, this is my body. The same body that Jesus took on as a little baby. The same body that he allowed to be crucified on a cross is the body that you will now receive in the Lord's Supper. Maybe when you came in today, Christmas, you looked up and said, what? It's something like communion on Christmas? That doesn't really go together, does it? Absolutely it does. It's a celebration of the presence of God. God as a little baby, physically, visibly, God as the body of Christ, sacramentally. Both of them have everything to do with God becoming man so he could die for us. What a shame that so many people don't recognize that. Or as John says, the greatest gift is also a gift unrecognized by the world. John puts it this way. Jesus was in the world, and although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Certainly those words are true in a number of ways. When Jesus came to this world, the majority of his countrymen didn't really recognize him. When he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," they tried to stone him to death, thinking, "You think you're God?" When Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, they said, "No, that ain't our kind of Messiah. Well, crucify him." The majority of the Jews in Jesus' day did not recognize him for who he was. Has anything really changed that much in 2,000 years? How many people that look into that little manger scene and see the little baby say, "Whoa, that's God Almighty. That's the one who will judge the living and the dead. That's the one who will decide whether I'm going to heaven or hell." I doubt it. They say, "I don't buy it." But are they the only ones? Or is it just the people out there? Or maybe, do we sometimes say that Jesus is our greatest gift, and then we act like our greatest gift is under a tree? Do we say, I'll follow you, Jesus. You're my Lord, unless it's inconvenient or it hurts. Are you telling me something I don't want to do? Remember what this same John said in his epistle? If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. The man who says, "I know God," but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't know about you, but I think of how many times I said I was going to do what God commands, and then I didn't. How many times I didn't walk in the light. I scurried for the darkness like a rat that hides in the shadows. I acted in ways that said, "No, me first. I don't want to do what you want, God." And I ended up feeling like a hypocrite. How can I say I'm a Christian? What am I even doing here? What a sad excuse for a believer I am. My words don't match my actions. And maybe you felt the same way at times. What right do we have to celebrate the greatest gift when we so often mistreat it in our day-to-day behavior? What right do we have? Well, that's found in the gift itself. The gift is a gift full of grace and truth. John says, Jesus came from the Father full of grace and truth. What does that mean? It means that Jesus came into this world not because God wanted to punish imperfect people, but because he loved them. You want to know how much God loves a broken person like you or me? Then listen to Jesus. Look at Jesus. Hear him say, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Listen to him intercede for those crucifying him. "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." My friends, let's face it. Jesus didn't come to save perfect people. He came to save you and me, sinners. God doesn't say, once you get your act straightened out, Come and see me. Once you stamp out that evil stuff in your heart, then you can worship me. Oh, he says, whoever you are, whatever you've done, no matter how much baggage you carry, come. I'll make you clean. You know what Jesus is like? He's like a gift certificate to PDQ Car Wash. Can you imagine looking at that certificate and reading the fine print and reading these words? This certificate can only be used if your car is already clean. No dirty cars allowed. No. It's like, wait a minute, that's not right. You shouldn't put conditions on this. You should be able to clean any car. That's the certificate that God has given you in Jesus. There are no conditions. No obligations. So you got a standard you got to live up to. God says, come to me when you're dirty, and I'll make you clean. I'll give you a car wash for your soul. And I'll do it at the price of my son. And how do you know that? How can you believe that? You can believe it because God told it to you. God made you a promise. And God doesn't break his promises. You can believe it. And when you believe it, you know what else God does for you? John tells you. To those who believed in Jesus' name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of God. It's been said that Christmas makes people feel like a kid again. And maybe it did. When you opened that special present, you felt like jumping up and down like a little kid. But really, that gift can't compare to the gift in the manger. Because while the gift under the tree might make you feel like a kid again, only the gift in the manger can truly make you a child again. That baby in the manger is God's proof to you that he came for you. He took on a body for you. And he's now made you clean. And he's made you his precious, beloved child. My friends, there's a gift worth celebrating. Not just today, but every day of our lives. For that's what the Christian life is. It's our thank you note to God for his greatest gift. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. Let's join to sing the Create in Me.